Good morning, Wisconsin. Morning, world. It's a new day. Thank you for kicking it off with us here at 97.5 FM, 1320 AM, WFHR. We are locally grown radio. 7:04 on the clock. You got your host, James J. here. I am joined by Melissa K.
Good morning.
We hope you're having a good start to your day out there. This hour, we're going to get into some fun stuff. Something is being released on the wild today, and that I mean us as a society, so we're going to get into that.
Okay.
Nebraska authorities are baffled by a missing canal water mystery. We're going to try to help them solve it.
Okay.
Yep, we're going to play Private Eye.
All right, sleuthing.
Yeah.
101.
A $400 emergency fund is not enough anymore. Hear what experts are saying is what is needed.
Yeah, $400.
We'll get into that. We've got also how many of us don't mind having crumbs in the bed. That is going to come up.
Cool.
Some entertainment news for you. Also got a bunch of weird, fun, random facts that we want to get into. We'll see if we have time for that today or not.
All right.
Entertainment news involving the Conners, TV show, Ricky Gervais, and Trace Atkins and Susan Sarandon in a situation that I know very well. And I feel for Trace Atkins in that one.
Coming
up. Of course, your usual unusual suspects as well. Misty and Misty's Menu Birthday and Anniversary Club coming up at the 8 o'clock hour, 9 o'clock hour. Good stories today. That ain't right stories. Plenty of that coming up for you. Then we'll lead you into Morning Magazine, first episode of the week, where in part one, we're going to welcome in our good friends from the Wood County Health Department. Penny Sharp is going to be with us.
Oh, good.
Penny and I have a bunch of fun things and interesting things to talk about.
Mm-hmm.
And then in part two, President of Assumption Catholic Schools, Dan Minter, going to join us.
Oh, that'll be interesting.
Yeah, I got a bunch of questions for Dan about the start of the new school year and how things are looking over there at AHS.
And they've already kicked off, haven't they?
Oh, yeah. Yeah. So looking forward to getting into that. And after all that, you'll have Seth in with Over the Back Fence. Be sure to join him for the show with your items you're looking for, items you wish to sell. You want to call up and say hi? We know you haven't talked to him in a while. Call him up and say
hi. He's been gone for a week.
Give him a call.
Catch up with Seth.
Please give him a call. No, spread the word about the show, everybody. Keep letting people know. Last week when I did the show, I averaged about 5 to 10 calls, and it felt great.
Yeah.
I haven't really done the show too much since we have been simulcast on FM and AM, and it has been a big changer for that hour, where there's a lot more interaction, a lot more people from different areas calling in.
Yeah.
And regulars.
A wide variety of things that people are selling.
Yeah, yeah. Along, with all of our regulars still calling in that we love hearing from. So that's been great. Be sure to call Seth today from 11 to noon on Over the Back Fence.
Mm-hmm.
How are you doing today, Melissa?
Oh, I'm pretty good. How about you?
Good. Doing all right. I'm a little... I shouldn't lie to the audience like that. I'm not doing all right because I'm not prepared for this. Everybody,
what?
Pumpkin spice latte returns today.
What?
And I'm not ready for this. I'm not ready for every 5 seconds. I love fall. I love autumn. I'm not sure I'm ready for gumball pumpkin spice or because every year, Melissa, they push the envelope a little bit more. Here's pumpkin spice air. Here's pumpkin spice water. Here's
pumpkin spice Listerine.
Yes.
Like, seriously, what's next?
Oh, why do I like that one? That's funny. That's just funny. That's better than the examples I had. I like that one better.
I'm not ready for pumpkin spice until the leaves start turning.
Yes, yes.
Like
after that,
that should be the bar.
Yeah.
That should be when it happens.
August,
come on, marketing. Get with it.
August is still summer to me.
Yeah.
And of all the months, and I will admit, I am a hypocrite about this when I realized a while back. I used to be one of those people that would bark about, they're putting out Christmas items in July, and that kind of thing. And I still feel a little of that. But I'm also the guy that as soon as they put Halloween decorations out, I'm losing my mind. So I am a little bit hypocritical on that one. I will admit that.
Yeah.
But the pumpkin spice thing is a little bit... Because I think of fall, I think of autumn. And I don't know about anybody else, but I want to hang on to as many days of summer as we can. I feel like when they introduce this stuff early, it's pushing the season out.
It is. Life is fast enough. We're going fast enough. Why do we got to speed it up? Seriously.
We both are adults. You guys out there, the majority of you are adults. If you are kids, boy, why? I don't know if you should be listening to us. I'm joking. I'm kidding.
No, you're awesome.
You are awesome. We love all the kids out there listening. But it's one of these things where the marketing, as far as that goes, as far as if I get this, if I get the Christmas stuff out sooner, if I get the pumpkin spice stuff out
longer,
I'll
make more money.
I'll make more money. Yeah, yeah. But...
Do you? Really?
Really. Because I've looked into this, and there's no concrete data that tells you you're going to sell more of any item and not just talking about like specific stuff, like any item, if you introduce it 1 to 2 weeks earlier than you normally would. Mm-hmm. There's no data to show you that this is going to make a better profit. And you're not exactly getting ahead of the Joneses on this one either. If like, oh, I want to come out with my pumpkin spice before so-and-so comes out with it. That doesn't even, as far as, like, again, looking at the difference of two, they used an example of two coffee shops who were across the street from each other, mm-hmm. and this is out in the East Coast, but I think we can relate to it around here, too, in Rapids and even in Stevens Point.
We have a ridiculous amount of coffee shops on every quarter.
You literally can't turn around at Stevens Point and not run into a coffee shop.
I'm not complaining. I love coffee.
Oh, no,
it's awesome.
Neither.
And the variety is great.
I feel like it's, I couldn't agree more. I feel like it's also a good example, though, to use this, because that's what they did, mm-hmm. and they found that neither place had more. In fact, the place that came out later had better sales, but
more
not
revenue.
By much. Yeah, more
mm-hmm.
revenue, but not by much.
Okay.
And they were looking at just the pumpkin spice thing.
Right.
But yeah, this stuff, you're not doing yourself any good. Like it
not
doesn't
necessarily. In fact, you're probably turning away some buyers because when that stuff comes out, especially Christmas, when it comes out and as soon as it sometimes it's out before Halloween is even done. And I mean, granted, I'm not going to buy it anyway.
Yeah.
But the earlier it comes out, the more salty I am about it.
Right. Same here.
And the more
same
I'm going to bash talk it.
Yeah.
Because
yeah.
I just think it's ridiculous.
Yeah.
Why speed up life faster than it's already going? It's going fast enough. Listen to Mother Nature. Listen to the earth.
Yes.
Watch for when the leaves turn and then bring out your pumpkin spice.
Then you go right ahead.
Then you're going to have rocket sales.
Yeah. It might be a little busier at Starbucks today because the pumpkin spice latte is back for its 19th year. Jeez. They're launching their full fall menu today, and like every other product in the world, the PSL costs a little bit more this year.
Of course.
Depending on the location, a grande will run you somewhere between $5.45 and $5.95.
Oh my goodness. Like, for coffee?
I'm not cheap, but on principle alone, I will not spend that on myself. I do it for somebody else, but not me. I can't do it now.
I contemplated, because I got going really early one day last week, and I was like, maybe I'm going to go to Starbucks and get a coffee. Why not?
Yeah.
Treat myself. I never do it.
Mm-hmm.
I really rarely go.
Yeah.
I couldn't bring myself to
do it.
I couldn't do it. And get this. I even have a Starbucks gift card in my wallet, so it wouldn't have cost me anything because I have it. I still couldn't make myself do it.
Still. I hear you.
The thought of, but I could get to work 10 minutes sooner and get a jump on my day. That had more appeal.
Yeah, and I don't think you're alone on that one. I really don't. I think that there's a lot, especially 19 years they've been doing this. And I mean, I don't know if the shine has come off of the apple a little bit here. They've also got a new drink, an apple crisp oatmeal macchiato that's supposed to taste like apple pie, but it's not really that new. They debuted their normal apple crisp macchiato last year, so the big difference is the oat milk, and it's also made with a lighter blonde espresso in their first vegan fall drink.
I don't know if I want to tell you what I was picturing
when
listed off that drink. Okay, so I enjoy oatmeal. I love oatmeal. There's a lot of different things you can do with oatmeal. Everything from, your traditional sweet oatmeal breakfast mm-hmm. to I introduced my boyfriend to savory oatmeal the other morning where I put bacon and some leftover like onions and peppers and there was a little bit of cabbage in there, stir-fried veggies from the previous night.
Gumbo oatmeal.
Right. And then you put a poached egg on it.
Wow.
Yeah.
Wow.
And you can add, whatever sodium you want, whether that's soy sauce
I've never heard of
or sriracha
like
or, whatever you want to put on it. It's great. It's awesome breakfast food. You can also use oatmeal for beauty products. It makes a great mask for your face,
mm-hmm.
For dry skin and things of that nature. So you're listing off the ingredients in this drink, and I'm totally picturing them with a blender, and they're throwing the espresso in there. They're putting in a cup of oats
in
the blender, and I'm like, oh, all right, oatmeal smoothie.
It's gonna be a minute.
And let me tell you, if they got those high powered blenders, if you blend raw oatmeal in hot water, it turns into oatmeal immediately, sludge oatmeal.
Yeah,
because that's how I make my oatmeal waffles.
You got me thinking about something here, because way back in the day in my classic rock days, one of the bits we did for a remote was we went to Jammers and we traded with the bartenders. Me okay. and Travis and Ace, we bartended, and those guys got to like DJ and stuff. Yeah, it was nice. A lot of fun. It was one of the best remotes I've ever been a part of. Uh-huh. It also it reminded you of how difficult jobs can be. Like mm-hmm. they felt that way about ours, we felt that way about theirs. But for some reason, that pops in my head, and now I want to see that on this level. I want to see bartenders working at a Starbucks.
At a barista?
Yeah, yeah, and vice versa, and see how that goes. So I just love the idea of, hi, yes, I'd like my pumpkin spice latte, but not too much foam, please. Yeah, coming right up. All right, sure. Right. That'll be $10. Are you sure? It's usually $6. $10. just very...
I put in the whole fat milk, but yeah, I wanted
yeah.
skim.
Yeah, yeah. Yeah, it'll go down the same. You want a chaser?
It might not come out the same, but...
No. And the like, I imagine that if I'm a barista, I don't want to say either job is easier, because I think both have toughness to them that mm-hmm. we probably don't know unless we've done the job.
Yeah.
Like most jobs.
Right.
But I love the idea of this calm, collected barista, like taking, like, hey, I need like 20 shots over here for my guys. What do you want? You want a Miller? All right, Miller. I need 6 Miller. Like all this mm-hmm. kind of stuff being mm-hmm. thrown at them, and then just be like, all right, so did you want me, what name did you want on your beer? What name? Is it Phil? Joe? What is... I just like the idea of mixing those worlds up.
Yeah, that would be pretty fun.
They also brought back their pumpkin cream cold brew for a fourth year, and their pumpkin scone and pumpkin cream cheese muffins. There's also a new owl cake pop with vanilla cake and buttercream. I have no idea the words I just said.
Oh, cake pops.
Okay.
Those have been a recent trend, I would say, in the last decade almost, probably.
Sounds kind of good.
It's like a lollipop, but it's cake. Covered in frosting.
Okay. Yeah, yeah. Oh, I could eat that. Yeah, yeah. That.
As long as they're done. Somebody gave me one once and it was gooey on the inside. I'm like, no. Mm. Cake batter on a stick? No, thanks.
No. That is one of those things you got to be careful about, though. Mm-hmm. It's like with cookie dough.
Yeah.
Like, cookie dough is great, but you got to be careful. You're not, you know.
Right.
Some of that stuff.
I don't need any E. coli.
Yeah, yeah. You got to be careful with that. We will come back with a bunch of great stuff with our National Day of calendar. We got that.
Currently, it's 62.
Thanks a lot, Jennifer. We appreciate the updates. Taking a look at your National Day of calendar now, and this August 30th, 2022. Melissa and James here with you. Let's see here. It is National Toasted Marshmallow Day.
Yum.
Yeah. Yeah, those are good.
Well, you know, since the pumpkin spice is coming out, we're running out of days that you can toast marshmallows.
Right? Yeah. Yeah.
I mean, you always can find
sure,
a way.
Sure.
A lighter works. No, I'm kidding. Don't do that.
Are there foods? Are there other foods like this for you where they can be served cold or hot, but you only like them one way? Because I just have no interest in cold marshmallows. But like when they're over
just like
an open
fresh
pit,
out of a package.
Yeah, they don't do anything. They taste very spongy to me, or
yeah.
very like
blah.
They don't taste like food to me.
Right.
But you roast them. And like, oh yes, yes,
yeah.
Yes,
I'll eat at least two.
I don't know. What it is.
I can't really think of anything off the top of my head. There probably is.
I used to be like that with bread. I only like to toast it.
Oh.
Now I'll eat a peanut butter and jelly sandwich, just not toasted or anything. But when I was a kid, that's how
I
was.
But you would prefer a peanut butter and jelly sandwich toasted?
Yes, yes.
Really?
Oh, yeah, the peanut butter melts. Yeah, so much better. Oh, God, yeah. Yeah. And I will never understand all of you out there, and I'm going to lose some people on this one. This may be, out of all the controversial things I've said on the air, this may be the biggest.
Oh.
I will never understand the people that cut the ends off the bread. I'll never get that.
You don't like the people that don't like the heels?
Even if you don't like the heels, don't eat them.
The bread bones.
It holds the sandwich together so much better. When you take those away, it's just, it squirts out. It's all over the place.
Yeah.
Like I feel like it's a little bit better, more constructed with the bread. I have eaten way too many peanut butter and jelly sandwiches.
It's also tasty.
Yeah, it is. It is.
I mean, just because it's the texture is a little different, is that maybe what it is for some people?
Maybe. Maybe. I know that... I don't know. They probably do still sell them, but I know for a while there, it seemed like one of the most popular things was buying those peanut butter and jelly.
Uncrustables?
Yeah, Uncrustables.
The round ones,
yeah.
What a waste of bread, though.
Yeah, really, really. That's what I get. Give me all the end pieces.
The whole thing.
I love end pieces.
Mm-hmm.
It is, here's another great one. It is National Holistic Pet Day.
Mm.
Care for your pet with the same generosity you give your own mind, body, and spirit. unfortunately, some of us already treat our pets better than we do ourselves. So it might be a reminder to also treat yourself at least at the same level you're treating your pet.
Yeah, not a bad reminder.
But if you're not treating your animals right, do so or give them to a shelter.
Don't be a pet owner.
Yes. Yeah. This is not something that's forced on you.
No.
You don't have to do this.
Nope.
Think of something bigger than yourself and, you know, give the animals
consider
up if
your
you have
pets.
To. I'm not saying it's easy, but, you know, you got to it's not about you. It's about the animal, just like with kids. It's not about you. It's about the kids.
Yeah.
I like that one. That's a good one. Mm-hmm. I also love that dog there. That's a beautiful dog.
Yeah, it's a pretty
dog. It is National Grief. Oh, well, I should say it's National Harper Day.
National Harper Day.
If your name is Harper, today is your day.
I don't know any Harpers.
I don't think I've ever known a Harper.
Uh-uh.
Huh. I hadn't thought of it until as soon as you said that, but now I think about it, I don't think I've ever met. I know Bryce Harper, but I don't really know him. He's a baseball player.
Well, that's
player.
A last name, yeah, not first
and
name.
And it's a last name, right.
Yeah,
right.
This is supposed to be a first name.
Yeah, huh. Today celebrates people with the name Harper and gives them special attention. The name Harper is an occasionally passed down from previous generations, and it represents some of the most respected people in a medieval baronial hall, notably in Scotland and Northern England.
Hmm.
The name is most likely to angelicized variant of the Gaelic Mac Tricolour, which means a son of the Harper. In Ireland. Huh. In Ireland, this surname has a legendary history.
Interesting.
I'm liking this. This is kind of cool. After a long history as a surname, Harper has grown in popularity as a first name in the past two decades. It is derived from harp, which refers to a string musical instrument, and it is translated as a harp player.
Harper.
That's right. That's great. I also feel very foolish right now.
Me too.
Thank you for you are such a good teammate. Noblemen and aristocrats in ancient times frequently hired musicians in their residencies for entertainment. Harpists were among the most prominent figures in medieval baronial courts. Harpists were granted noble status according to ancient Irish law due to their elegance of their music.
I like harpist better than harper.
Yeah, yeah, I like harpist.
I'm a harper.
Yeah, yeah.
No, I'm a harpist.
Harpist sounds so much better.
Yeah, it does.
They are known for these wicked, really long, wicked harp solos that they would do. They're just going like crazy. One guy set his harp on fire once. Ooh. Just,
wow.
Just, you know, very, very, that was cool.
Shred
it's where Hendrix got the idea, actually.
Yeah?
It's where,
no. Is it? Have you ever seen a harpist play?
Yes, yes. It reminds me of kind of like a painter. And I don't know why. It's just the simple, like almost every instrument, there is a ferociousness almost to it. Even a violin. Mm. You watch a violin player go,
oh, yeah, when
Lindsay
they're going.
Yeah, yeah,
yeah.
But harp, it's such a simple.
It's more like a dance.
Yeah, that's a good way to put
mm-hmm.
it. I think the same way about the stand-up bass. I love a stand-up bass.
Oh, yeah.
It's an awesome sound.
Plucking.
Yeah, yeah.
yeah.
yeah. Especially
agree.
The guys that are good at it, and they like whip it around and literally dance with it. Like,
right.
yeah, yeah. Harper is part of a growing trend of surnames becoming popular first names. In 2004, the name appeared on the Social Security Administration's list of the top 1,000 female names for the first time. Harper debuted at number 887, and it just keeps growing.
I have heard it in like movies or books. But just not anybody I personally know.
Yeah. Today is National Grief Awareness Day. It is dedicated to raising awareness of the myriad ways in which individuals cope with loss. It offers resources to those going through personal losses and reminds us to support people we know who are grieving. National Grief Awareness Day, founded by Angie Cartwright in 2014, hopes to encourage open communications on loss and bereavement and better inform the public on the facts of grief. Yesterday, we had to start our show we didn't have to. I chose to start our show in a bit of a hard situation with Nina Pollocky, the very popular and prominent Channel 9 news anchor for many years, for 5-7 years, somewhere in between there. She worked there. We started our show talking about that. Last night, I watched their, I don't normally do this. I usually catch either the 5 or the 10 o'clock news, whatever I'm around for. I like local news.
Yeah.
I know a couple of people over there and stuff, so that's part of the reason I watch that. But Teats Throne, whatever channel you watch.
Mm-hmm.
I've never seen professionalism like that.
Hmm.
I've seen a lot of people step up, a lot of people in hard moments do things. And I will say that when the situation with Bob and his wife happened, I was one of the hardest shows I've ever done until the very first show we did when Carl passed away. Mm-hmm. And I could not get through a segment without getting upset. Without trying not to, how you keep your eyes really big so you're hoping that the tears won't come out and things like that. And I just felt for every one of them because they all did their job excellently as they always do, while also you could tell their eyes were watery. They were crying beforehand. Yeah. They were hurt. They took the time to talk about suicide. They took the time to talk about the awareness of that, and they did it in raised voices. It was just it was unlike any news station show I've ever seen, local news broadcast I've ever seen. I've never seen anything like that. And not only because they were emotional, that I've seen before, you know, saying goodbye to a friend or somebody retiring.
Yeah.
Not only them doing that, but staying the course and doing their job. The show must go on, and it hurts, and it's hard, and it's kind of ridiculous in some ways, where, you know. But it's the fact. It's a phrase for a reason. The show must go on. And they did a great job with that. But I one of the things that I thought they did so well with it was also touching on, hey, if you know somebody that is hurting, you know somebody that might be out there, there are signs that are tells. Nina gave up her cat a couple weeks ago, and she loved that cat beyond belief. Like, it was incredible how much she cared about that cat. I'm not saying that that's the example every single time. Sometimes somebody's moving, or sometimes somebody just, you know, like we were just talking about with animals.
Mm-hmm.
But there are signs if you are paying attention.
Mm-hmm.
Are you the kind of person that asks, how are you doing today? And all you're doing is waiting to tell them how you're actually doing, and that's the only reason you ask the question?
Yeah.
Well, I'm, you know, let me tell you how my day is. If you're that kind of person, you're probably never going to care or see any of the stuff we're talking about here. But if you're the kind of person that asks, how you doing, and you're listening to the person's response, you're the kind of people that we need to pay attention to these kind of things. And so hopefully we can get as much help out there as we can and give grief, the attention it deserves. You can survive grief. There are better days ahead. Mm-hmm. No matter how bad your day is, there is a better day coming.
Yes.
You just got to make it to it. Mm-hmm. Keep fighting and know that you are not fighting alone. You have many people around you, surrounding you, with you, not only loved ones, strangers that support you, that got your back.
And grief comes in many different ways and at different times. And you just, you have to work through them.
Mm-hmm. International Whale Shark Day. Because sharks aren't intimidating enough.
No, we need big ones. Big sharks. Giant sharks.
Okay. You know, we got sharks here.
60-foot sharks.
Sharks are cool and all. They're
at birth. Wait, they're 60 feet at birth.
Yeah.
Oh.
All of a sudden, the parent, the mom out there that gave birth to the 9-10 pound kid. well, could be a little worse. The humongous fish happens to be the largest shark species on the planet, growing, as Melissa said, as much as 60 feet from time of birth.
Okay, no, growing.
Yes.
Not born. Like, whoa.
The whale shark is known for its slow and gentle behavior. It usually prefers to swim in shallow depths, but it also found in waters as deep as 3,000 feet. They're incredible. People have been using them, though, for their meat and fins. The whale shark market has led to at least a 50% decrease in this fish's population.
Mm.
Shouldn't be happening. We're letting too much of this go on our own watch here,
well,
everybody.
Well, we need to be responsible with our hunting and our fishing and how much we take from the planet. But the planet can't survive if we just, you know, take all of the resources.
Yeah.
We need the circle of life. It needs all of those factors to be able to continue.
International, I have, you worded that perfectly, so I have nothing to add. Well done. International Cabaret Sauvignon Day.
Cabernet Sauvignon.
Sauvignon, yes. Mm-hmm, yes.
Not that I want to correct you
or anything like
that.
No, I understand, of course. I have to get it right.
If you
want
to be posh proper.
Is there really any other way? Yes. I love
Stop
doing that
swirling
voice.
Your wine over there. Come on.
I brought it just so this I could do this bit.
Yeah, I'm sick of it now.
Yeah, I'll stop. It is. That's not a bad one.
No, if you like Cabernet. Actually, I prefer Cabernet out of many of the different red wines. I think it has nice full body and a good notes of flavor in there, depending on the type that you get.
I will say that I did notice when I... I did a big, you know, promotional thing for the show we were in, and we went to one of those Napa Valley wineries, mm-hmm. and there is a difference, like, with that really, really expensive wine.
Like, oh, yeah.
Wine that's, like more than I got, cost more than what I got in the bank account. Like
well, when you take a sip and you have, you know, they talk about notes of flavor, when you can tell the different... that there are different flavors in there. It's a depth that you can taste with all of your senses.
And today is Frankenstein Day.
Ah.
Frankenstein Day. And yes, before you email me, it is, we know already it's the name of the scientist, not the doctor.
Aw, I was about to do my best Frau Blücher impersonation.
Oh, that'd have been good, though, actually. That'd have been really good.
No.
I read the book Frankenstein when I was a kid. Mary Shelley, great author, wonderful writer and everything. Anytime Frankenstein comes up, I think of young Frankenstein. That's the first thing.
Rolling in the hay.
No matter what happens, do not open this door. No matter what you hear, do not open this door. No matter what, open the door. It's one of my favorite. It gets me every single time. I've been watching that since I was a kid, and every time Gene Wilder gets me.
Movie.
Oh God, it's so good. It's the way Brooks directs it too, where it's so close up, and you could see the how scary the desperation
and the black and white. I mean, you can't do better than that.
It's a perfect cast too. There's not one bad casting in that movie. God, mm-hmm. I love it. That's something with all Mel Brooks movies. Actually, when I think about it, I don't think
he's
ever
really good casting.
So good at casting. But we are talking about Mary Shelley's Frankenstein. To be correct, Frankenstein Day is on August 30th. And celebrating with all the details surrounding this classic novel. Can you believe it's been over 200 years since the original Frankenstein story was published? I think for some people, they might think it's even older.
Mm-hmm.
These two centuries since, a young scientist named Victor Frankenstein breathed life into his very own creature, the monster, and led to countless Halloweens of young children covered in green paint with box-shaped foreheads. You can't be Frankenstein without the bolts
right,
in the neck.
Right, you got to have the bolts in the neck.
Bolts in the neck, yep.
Mm-hmm.
Published in 1818 by English author Mary Shelley, Frankenstein is considered one of the most important science fiction pieces ever written.
Hmm.
It truly is. It pushed the boundaries of horror. It was the game changer of its day. Horror was always about, you know, the boogeyman under the bed or old folk tales or mm-hmm. things.
Goblins.
Yeah, she created a monster mm-hmm. that you just think of it. Like, if she never did anything else in her career, creating Frankenstein, like, hey, nice job. That's pretty dang good. Mm-hmm. And she did other good work, too. And it's really interesting if you look at the history of how that story came to be, how she came up with it and everything. That is an interesting one. They did a really nice job on Drunk History with that. That's a good one to check on Drunk History.
Interesting.
And one more, National Beach Day.
Oh, get your beaches in. They're closing on Tuesday.
This reminds me of how thankful I am that I don't hear people saying anymore, life's a beach. Like, I
really?
Yeah, that was an 80s thing. Yeah,
okay.
It was like a late 80s. I think it was a late 80s thing
that.
Or something. Yeah, there were shirts. It was just the most tired phrase I think I've ever heard in my life. I love beaches, though, and I want to be on one right now.
Oh, yeah. That would be nice.
It does seem like it'd be really nice, especially while they're trying to serve, you know, pumpkin spice at us and everything. Ugh. Get to the beach as much as you can.
The two don't go together.
No. We'll take a quick commercial break, please. Melissa, what did I say there? Blake?
Yeah, we're going to take a Blake.
We're going to take a Blake,
everybody. It's not Blake
Day,
it's Harper Day.
It's Blake, get over here. It's finally your time to shine. Been waiting over there in the corner all these It's finally time, Blake. We'll play Melissa's news. It'll be back after this commercial break. Mornings on WFHR.
From the Comfort Air Heating.
Locally grown radio. Hope you're having a great start to your Tuesday out there. Mine just got a little bit better hearing this. Such a sucker for this song.
And I knew you were, which is why when I took a big bite of my muffin, I was like, it's okay, I got time.
Yeah, you got time. Yeah, I'm going to let this one bleed. Yeah, I'm going to let this one go out. 64 in Stevens Point, 59 in Marshfield, 62 in Wausau, 61 here in Wisconsin Rapids. Thank you for joining Melissa and I this Tuesday morn. Hope you're having a good one out there, everybody.
Mm-hmm. Beautiful blue skies.
Nebraska authorities are baffled by a missing canal water mystery.
Hmm.
And Melissa and I are going to tackle the case.
Okay.
We're going to solve this. No, I don't know if we're going to solve this. We're going to
get a diagnosis. I got my magnifying glass. And I don't know what this is, but it's going to help me.
If you don't mind, I'd like to do my Sherlock while I'm doing this.
Oh, yes, please do.
Actually, no, there's Sherlock. There he is. Now I've got him. Yes. Authorities in Nebraska are trying to determine who released 16 million gallons of water by opening a dam on an irrigation channel one night this month. Mm. And why? The puzzling water release from the Cambridge Canal reduced the water flow to some 18,000 acres of crops and jeopardized expensive irrigation equipment, according to Brad Edgington, the general manager at the irrigation district there.
Hmm.
The canal was flowing at its normal rate of 150 cubic feet per second when Edgerton checked on his computer on the night of August 13th, but by the following morning, the flow had been cut in half. Something had happened at the canal's dam near the town of Cambridge, about 200 miles west of Lincoln. Edgerton drove there and discovered that someone had wrenched open the dam's two 10-foot gates, sending the precious water down the Republican River. He estimates that about 30 acre feet of water was lost during the roughly 8 hours that the gates were open. It's crazy.
Oh my.
I don't think I've really heard of a story like this before.
No.
I just thought it was, you know, interesting. It was an unfortunate situation. In the scheme of things, it wasn't a lot of water, but it was an inconvenience, he would say. Go on to say. Edgerton scrambled to notify farmers downstream about the problem, called the sheriff, and contacted the Bureau of Reclamation to get more water released from the Harry Struck Reservoir.
Hmm.
I mean, Melissa and I, during the break, were just talking about whether, you know, parts of the world are seeing the biggest droughts they've ever seen, mm-hmm. and other parts are dealing with flooding right now.
Yeah.
I mean, it's one of those things. So
water is precious and important, and water conservation and the stewardship of it is vital. I mean, he's talking about what impact that had to lose that water back into the river from the reservoir. I mean, you wouldn't think water going into a river is going to be a bad thing, but guess what? Now it's downstream. It's not up here anymore where they can use it, where they had planned to use it.
Right.
So it's got a big impact,
mm-hmm.
and that warrants the question, why would somebody do that? What's
yeah.
the point?
Yeah, I mean, you know, you've always got the whole knucklehead scenario where it could just be somebody who's, you know, an idiot. And I know I'm not supposed to say that word. But some people are idiots, okay? The word exists for a reason.
They act without thinking. Or they think they're doing something and they're misguided.
If it was a human being that did this, and they did this for whatever the reason might be, how do you call them anything other than that?
Yeah.
I mean, I use the word knucklehead all the time because I'm supposed to not say idiot. But some people are idiots. I mean, the word exists for a reason. That's a moronic thing to do.
But it was wrenched open. James, if it wasn't a human, was it an alien?
This is exact. Okay. Oh, you took it a different route. That's okay. All right. I'm listening. Maybe. But I was going to go beavers.
And they don't have thumbs.
Is that stereotypical?
They
of me?
Don't have thumbs.
I feel a little animal stereotyping on that.
That dam was not made out of wood.
No.
I don't think the beavers had anything to do with it.
Love the idea of, all right, we got about like 50 beavers they bring into the precinct. All right, come on. Confess.
Line up.
Confess. Quit chewing on the chair. Confess. This is not going well. This is.
Just stand still for your for your mugshot.
Do you, I don't know about others, I have a feeling you're going to be a little on the same page with me on this one, Mel. There's something about animals in general that I get a pull to, and I think it's partially because I didn't grow up with them, and I just find them interesting, and the animal kingdom. Like, I doesn't really matter if it's an animal I like or not, I like learning about them. But one of the other things that I appreciate about animals so much is their spirit, their drive. An animal loses its leg, it doesn't complain. It just keeps moving. It keeps going. It just finds a way to survive.
Mm-hmm.
It is the definition of resilience.
And instinct.
Yes, yeah. And I think it's really interesting years back when they first started putting like kind of little mini wheelchairs on dogs when mm-hmm. they couldn't use
prosthetic
their back legs. Yeah, things like
that.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, yeah. This story really caught me, and it is not just because it features a penguin. Okay, it does. It did catch me because of that. But that's not the only reason.
Okay. Oh, sure. Okay, yep. We'll humor you.
The San Diego Zoo penguin has been fitted with orthopedic footwear.
Aww.
let me see here. A member of San Diego Zoo's African penguin colony has been fitted with orthopedic footwear to help it with a degenerative foot condition. Mm-hmm. The four-year-old penguin named Lucas has lesions on his feet due to chronic condition known as bumblefoot, which covers a range of avian foot problems, the San Diego Wildlife Alliance said Monday in a press release. If left untreated, bumblefoot could lead to death, basically. Or at least, at the very least, infection and amputation.
Mm. Inability to use his feet.
Yeah. The zoo's wildlife care specialist turned to an organization called TheraPaw, which creates rehabilitative and assistive products for animals with special needs. TheraPaw created custom shoes made of neoprene and rubber to prevent pressure sores from developing when Lucas stands and walks. The penguin's problems began more than 3 years ago, and he's just now finally getting some care.
Aww.
This is something that can affect a lot of penguins. I'm showing Melissa a picture of him, and you can't really see like much of a difference because his feet are already black.
Right. They just look like thick penguin feet.
I imagine that they also did this so he can keep, because they use these for swimming, too.
Right, right. He's got to be able to get around and be mobile and move to catch his food and to just be active and healthy.
Even in a zoo environment, he's got to have that ability. So, it's just a cool story.
That's incredible. And you've seen it, like, they have prosthetics for elephants, even, that have lost their legs because of poachers and situations like that, where they can help animals to survive human deprivation.
It's really cool. It's just a very cool world that we're living in right now, with the way that some of these things are done and the time and businesses that take time into doing work on these things. I did want to also mention that African penguins have suffered a massive population decline and are listed as endangered by the International Union of Conservation of Nature. And I'm going to warn everybody here. If that goes extinct, if that penguin goes extinct, you're going to deal with me. Mm. And look, I understand that some people may not even know what I look like. You will. You will. I ain't letting this happen. No. No.
Can you see lose James out there in a penguin suit advocating for penguins?
Yes, yes. Whatever it takes. Heck, we are penguins. We're flightless birds. So are penguins. We're all penguins.
It's the same.
Save the penguins, for the love of God.
Please do.
What kind of world are we living in if we don't have African penguins? My God. We'll take a quick commercial break. We will come back and talk about how many of us don't mind crumbs in the bed. Get into that, talking with them. Mm-hmm. And
discuss weather.
Yeah, yeah. Nice. And saying hi and all that. They're great people over there. We love interacting with them.
Weather is fascinating.
I find it fascinating. Mm-hmm. I'm one of those people, because a lot of the cable stations have music channels. I'll throw jazz on or something to have background noise. Mm-hmm. If it's not that, it's the Weather Channel.
Weather Channel.
Yeah. But something about it to me. I don't know. And I don't want to make anybody feel bad or anything. But I think I found maybe the most comfortable chair I've ever had.
Really?
Yes. I love this chair.
All right.
I spent way too much on it, like more than I've ever spent on a chair in my life.
But you feel good about your purchase.
Well, my back is so much better in this thing.
Good.
Like, I cannot tell you how much my lower back feels better even just getting out of this chair.
Well, you spend a lot of hours in that chair.
Yeah. Just, I'm only bringing
You've
it up,
invested
really.
In your health, James, and I'm so proud of you.
This is why I went. This is exactly
well
where I wanted
done.
To go. It's worth it.
Good.
I'll be honest, I didn't think it would be. I'm going to spend the money on this thing and watch my back still hurt.
Oh.
You just watch. And I'm looking at the chairs, especially how I put it together.
Mm.
I am not proud of how long it took me to put this chair together. It should have taken me like a half an hour tops. It was around 45 to an hour. It was a little longer than I expected.
Okay, but really, that's not that bad. Chairs are complicated.
But when you take pride in being able to put things together fast, like, it bugs you if it does.
Wah, wah, wah.
That's true. So how many of us don't mind crumbs in the bed? There was a time when breakfast in bed literally was romanticized. And maybe for some people it still is. But for others, the idea of having crumbs and greasy hands in their bed is too much.
Mm.
We used to like to do this for my mom on Mother's Day.
Mm-hmm.
But every year she would change the sheets afterwards. Right after. As soon as she was out of bed and everything.
Yep.
And I never really put it together for the longest time until I got older.
Be washing day.
In a new survey, 80% of people said that feeling crumbs in their bed leads to a bad night's sleep.
Hmm. Yes.
35% of people in the survey admitted to eating in bed, mostly late-night snacks like cookies, chips, and popcorn, which seems even messier than eating a breakfast with utensils.
Mm-hmm.
But be careful. 33% of people say they consider eating in bed a dating deal breaker. Whoa.
What?
A dating deal breaker.
Like, if you do, that's it? You're out the door?
Yeah.
That's a red flag?
Yeah. I guess so. Yeah. 38% of millennials would consider ending a relationship over it.
Whoa.
Ironically, millennials are also the generation most likely to snack in bed.
To snack in bed. Yep. Mm-hmm. Of course. Well, it's okay. It just narrows the dating pool for you.
There you go. There you go. Yeah. I suppose they always say know what you want.
Yeah.
You know, mm-hmm. I guess.
Mm-hmm. Have standards.
I will tell you this, though, because if we are talking to millennials, if we're talking to younger people or whatever, I will say this. That as you get older, those red flags you have, like some of them, turn very like pinkish white. Like, is it really that big of a deal? Dating's rough. It's hard to find somebody. Like, is it really like you meet the, you know, Mr. or Mrs. Wright and mm-hmm. everything's going good. And then, you know, you're going to spend like maybe your first week together in bed or whatever, sleeping together. Not, you know, sleeping, but falling asleep next to each other.
Yeah.
And you look over and they're eating like cookies in bed. Like, you're like, that's
nom,
it.
Nom, nom.
That's the end. Like. Deal over, like game over. Pack your stuff.
Get
and
out.
Leave. Yeah, yeah. I think. Hey, if you feel that way, okay. I'm just telling you, you're gonna have to choose your battles wisely as you get older. Because spoiler alert, there is no perfect mate.
True.
Everybody's got to work with everybody.
Yeah, and we all have our little idiosyncrasies.
Right.
But let's talk for a minute about the circumstances that lead to eating in bed.
Mm.
So for the, there was a period of time where living situation. I spent a lot of time in my room.
Yeah.
And if I wanted to be by myself, the only place to do that would be my room. So oftentimes I would eat in my bed.
Same.
Just because it would be where I could be mm-hmm. without being interrupted, without being, you know, whatever.
I can relate to that.
Another circumstance would be if you have a television in your bed and you watch TV in your bed, that's often a time to snack on popcorn or cookies or chips or something of that nature.
I don't know if this is self-explanatory or if it's part of the conversation or not, but I feel like there's a gigantic difference between if the bed is made and you're eating on top of it, or if the covers are all over the place and you're eating on the covers.
Sheets.
Yeah, in your sheets. Mm-hmm. I feel like there's a big difference there.
Yeah, there like is. I would say
so. Breadcrumbs on the bed, bedspread or whatever, or the blanket or what have you. Mm-hmm. Wipe those off and vacuum.
Mow them out.
Don't do that. Don't do that. Not a good
idea. What
are
you doing with the weed whacker?
Just hear me out. This is going to be faster. But
and then
I feel
we can
like
talk about
the
rise of millennials moving back home.
Oh,
you know,
yeah,
and if
yeah.
they want to have a private, snack in their space, that's really the only way to do it. If they don't have a kitchen that's your own, I mean, but when you have your own home or your own apartment and you have your own kitchen, it just makes sense to eat. At your table or on the couch in front of the television. I don't know. I'm not a big proponent of having a TV in the bedroom. I just never have been.
Yeah.
I don't like it.
Yeah.
You know, now and then it's kind of nice
sure.
to watch a show in bed, but that's what hotels are for.
Yes. I know some people that they will not have a TV in their bedroom. They just refuse to do that.
Well, because a bedroom is supposed to be for sleep and the other
mm-hmm.
with your partner.
Right.
So, I mean, that's the point of a bedroom. And that's where those things should be happening.
And to throw your mess. It's a great room for messiness. Like it's the one
because it's got a door on it.
Yeah, it's the one room in the house that I because I am not one of these. While I am a borderline neat freak, I am not one of these people that walks into someone's house and judges it or anything. I can't stand people like that.
Mm-hmm.
I will say though that. When it comes to like my own personal house,
mm-hmm.
like that, I feel a certain level of or right. a certain like I've got to have it at this part. I can't. I mean, I don't even know if I can like go to sleep at night if there's something that like the counter table's dirty, you know, because I cooked on it or something.
Yeah.
Dishes on. No way. I will stay up and finish those dishes.
Same.
It's that. I will say. But mm-hmm. I think that the other part
Problems
of this
in
too.
The bed. Mm-hmm. Pick your battles.
Yeah. I really feel like it's about that. You know, especially, again, being single's hard. If you found somebody, like, that's the last thing that you should be worried about. Like,
that should not be the straw that broke a camel's back.
Boy, it would be nice to be that kind of perfect. Like you could be that kind of picky, I suppose. We will take a commercial break. We'll play some CBS News for you. We'll come back in and do a Misty's Menu Birthday and Anniversary Club. We've also got some interesting stuff here about the emergency fund, what it used to be and what it needs to be.
Oh, yes. I'm curious about that.
I got one here I think you're going to like. Adding trashed COVID-19 masks to concrete and what it can do to concrete.
Huh.
Yeah, it's going to be an interesting one. We'll get into that and plenty more on Mornings on
The city cannot produce enough water to fight fires, to reliably flush toilets, and to meet other critical needs.
It means kids can't attend school in person, all learning's virtual until further notice.